Thank you for joining us as we discover nothing but the truth with David Johnston.
There are battles in life that you do not want to lose. And the good news is that God doesn't want you to lose those battles and has made a wonderful provision so that never need happen. Now, we've already learned that you plus God plus having on the equipment that He has specifically prepared for you enables you to win in all of life's battles every single time. Now, here's the scriptures from which we learn this. Here's what it says. Finally, my brethren, look at this. Be strong in the Lord. That's good news. You get strength from the Lord. And look at this. And in the power of His might. So you're never going to be left alone. Now look at the next phrase. Put on the whole armor of God. And this is so warm I can't resist that ye may be able. I want you to know that's what God says about you. You may have lots of enemies and lots of thoughts that come against you and say you can't, you're no good, and call you down. Those are not coming from God. He is on your side, and He wants you to be able, look at this, to stand against the wiles of the devil. That devil, who the scripture says, like a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour, and he wants to devour you, but God says, no, you plus me plus putting on the equipment I've got for you, you can stand against him every single time. Look at another verse for me. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor, that equipment I'm talking about that God's designed for you, that ye may be able, look at that phrase again, that ye may be able to withstand in tough days, in evil days, and having done all, you'll be able to keep on standing. Now, here's what we've learned so far. Number one, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. The first piece of armor we learned about is that piece of armor that's made out of truth that's designed to guard, protect your loins, the sexual parts of your body, so that you will never fail. You will never be destroyed sexually by the enemy if you put that piece of armor on. That armor's made out of truth, not just any truth, but the truth about sexuality according to the scriptures. So we learn to go through the Bible and memorize all the thoughts about sexuality. And by memorizing them, we got that piece of armor on. And when test or trial comes, those truths stand up within us and defeat the temptation and the enemy. And then look at this. The second piece of armor, we've already learned about it, having on the breastplate of righteousness. And oh, what a delightful time we had learning about this. Protecting the heart, protecting the principal organs of the body, the breastplate of righteousness. And we learned how to put it on, to protect the righteous condition of our heart that Jesus gave us at salvation. We do good deeds, righteous deeds. You see, you're not saved by doing righteousness, but you're saved in order to do righteousness. I think that's found in Ephesians chapter 2. For we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Good works can't save you, but now that we're saved, we are saved to do good works. And your righteousness is really important to God. Well, today we want to learn the next piece of armor. Take a look at it with me. Here it is, having your feet shod. Your feet shod. That is having your boots on, if you please, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, if you don't know what that is, relax. Get your notebook out and your pencil, because we're going to learn today about how to put your boots on. Now, there have been a lot of battles in history that have been won or lost because the marching on army either did or did not have proper footwear for the proper terrain, for the proper climate. Some cases, one I remember, to keep out the rain and the wet, because then it froze and they just could not march forward. See, the boots are really important. Now, the boots, according to Scripture, are called the preparation of the gospel of peace. They are meant to protect your feet. Why is that important? It's important because, you see, the enemy wants to immobilize you. And if you can't ruin your testimony by attacking your loins, your sexuality, he'll try to stop you from being and doing righteous things. And if he can't stop you there, he will stomp on your feet, damage your feet, So you can't use your feet. You can't go anywhere. You can't accomplish your mission. And your feet are very important. And here's why. Look at this scripture with me. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet. The feet of the person that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that brings good tidings of good. Look at this. That publishes salvation and that saith to Zion, thy God reigns. Your feet are really important. I want to take you through that verse one more time and break it down. Because look at this. It's the feet of him that, number one, brings good tidings. That's why you need your feet, because you've got good news to take to people. Look at this. That publishes peace. Our message is one of peace. Look at this next one. That bringeth good tidings of good. Look at this next one. That publishes salvation. And lastly, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigns. So lots of people out there don't know that. They don't know that there's a way of peace. They don't know that there's good news waiting for them. They don't know about real, genuine, glorious salvation. And they think money's in control and politicians are in control and all kinds of hurtful things damage their lives are in control, but not so. God is in control. God's reigns. Now look at this scripture one more time. It's the feet of him that accomplishes all these things. Without the right boots on, you will not be able to deliver the right message, the message that's so desperately needed. And what is that message? It's the message of him that brings good tidings. I want you to see more details about the message. Here it is. Are you ready? Look at this scripture. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But watch this now. Look at the next scripture. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Look at the next question. And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Look at the next question now. And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and that bring glad tidings of good things. Without these boots on, that world out there that needs to hear from you, that needs to hear the message from you, we will never get there without the boots. We will never get very far. And without getting very far, the life-saving message that we have will not be heard. Without the boots, the enemy will immobilize us, contain us, render us ineffective, take us out of action, if you please. Well, you know that the armor we're learning about today is how to have your feet equipped, how to have your boots on, so that you can effectively do what God wants done. Well, what are the boots made out of? And how do you put the boots on? That's the question. And the fact is that the boots are made out of, are you ready? The preparation of the gospel. Look at the text with me one more time. Having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Having your boots on, don't miss this, means being prepared to preach the gospel of peace. Now, I want you to listen to the Apostle Paul talk about having his boots on. Look at the scripture. Here's what he says. So, as much as is in me, here it is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome and everywhere else. Look at the next verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now watch this. He said, I am ready to preach. He's saying, I've got my boots on. And with the boots on, that is, with the proper preparation to preach, look at this, We will not be ashamed. We will not be ashamed. So let's talk about what the boots are and how to put them on. The boots are made from the preparedness to preach the gospel. And how do you get prepared to preach the gospel? Now jot down these steps of preparedness, because if you will follow these steps, you will have your boots on. Number one, you must have adequate motivation to preach the gospel. And so let's go through some of these adequate motivations, because to be ready to preach, you got to be motivated to preach. And here are some biblical motivations to preach. Number one, necessity. Look at the scripture. For though I preach the gospel, Paul says, I have nothing to glory of. Look at this. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. See, he knows it's necessary. We've already learned that. How shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? You see, it's necessary that everybody hear this message, and that motivates you, the necessity that everybody needs to hear the good news. A second motivation is obligation. Look at what Paul says. He said, I am a debtor. I owe this to everybody. I owe it to the Greeks and the barbarians, to the wise, to the unwise. I owe it to those who have not heard it. I owe it to those who have heard it and are unwise because they haven't yet responded to it. I am obligated. I am obliged. That's a good motivation. That's an adequate motivation for preaching the gospel. And here's another one. Obedience. Remember, Jesus said it in Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And if you want to obey God, that's a good motivation for getting ready to preach the gospel. And then the terror of the Lord. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade, look at this, we persuade men. We're not casual about this, but highly motivated to persuade. That's another reason to be motivated. And then reward is a legitimate reason. Daniel says, they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. There are rewards for taking this gospel to people, and that's a good motivation. Then wrath to come. Scripture says, how you know what manner of entering in we had with you, how you turn to God from the idols to serve the living and true God and wait for a son from heaven whom he raised from the dead. Look at this, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That's a good motive, because when you bring the gospel to people, they'll be delivered from the coming wrath. And then another good motive for preaching the gospel is love. You know this verse, it's the warm, it's the best known, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Love is a good reason. It's the reason God did what he did, and it's a good enough reason that we love people to take the message to them. It's a good motivation. And then compassion is a good motivation. Isn't it interesting how Jesus viewed people, sinners? Look at this. When he saw the multitudes, look at this. He was moved with compassion on them because, look at this now, because they fainted. They were scattered abroad like sheep having no shepherd. And so compassion is a very good reason for reaching out to people. In fact, look at this one more verse about this, because the scripture says some saved by fear, but look at this, some have compassion. Oh, let's go back to that again. Some have compassion, making a difference. So that's a good motive. Let me give you one more. The glory of the Savior. You see, being prepared to preach the gospel means having an adequate motivation. All of the ones I've listed for you, the eight already, are good motivations. But I want you to see this one. You see, the glory of the Savior is to save. And the scripture says, whatever you eat or whatever you drink or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. One school teacher had a vision of people in darkest Africa in need of the gospel. And it led him to sell everything he owned, quit his job, take the money, pay off his debts, buy a ticket, fly to Africa, and there to be a missionary to those who had this vision, who were wandering through the jungles trying to find God. And when he got there, got into the jungle, he was so disillusioned because, to his dismay, they were not trying to find God. They were not pulling back the leaves of the tree and looking, searching for God. They didn't even want to know God. What a disillusionment came to him. He ran out of motivation. He thought their need would motivate him. So he took a room in a cheap hotel in the city, and he got on his knees and he cried out to God and says, God, what am I doing here? Why should I try to reach these people? They deserve to go to hell. They don't like you. They don't want you. They don't want the Bible. What am I doing here? Why should I try to reach these people? And it was as if for him, the Holy Spirit whispered this one sentence. One adequate reason, here it was, that the Lamb might receive that for which he suffered. Oh, that's a good enough reason for telling somebody the gospel, that Jesus might get the person for whom he's already died, suffered, paid the price. So you see, having yourself prepared to preach begins with adequate motivation. Then, secondly, we must have an adequate understanding of the gospel. This is very important today because there are many false gospels. Gospel, you see, begins with God has a wonderful plan for your life, but somehow it's got turned around and now they're saying that God has a wonderful life for your plan. Wrong. That's the humanism that's crept into the gospel. We need to know the gospel. What is it? Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose the third day according to the scriptures. And there are requirements to respond to this gospel. There are conditions. Here they are. Number one requires repentance. Scripture says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. It requires faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Not just a little bit mental assent, genuine belief. Then baptism, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, the thief on the cross never got a chance to get baptized, and that's okay. It's about people, though, who have the chance and disobey and will not perform and do this outward sign of the inward work. Baptism's really important. And then continuance. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. It's beyond the time that we have today to talk about this true gospel, but I'd like you to call and order, if you please. We've got a couple of messages on how to know whether you are really a Christian, and then what is genuine repentance. Because you see, the true gospel brings a change of lordship. It's a change from self-rule to Christ's rule. It's a change of government. I was ruling myself, now I come under his rule. I want you to avail yourselves of these opportunities, because having your feet shod means you're prepared by having adequate motivation, but you also have to have an adequate understanding of the message of the gospel once you get there. And then number three is that we must have proper attitudes in order to be properly prepared to preach the gospel. Here are five of them. Number one, meekness. Here's what the scripture says. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Look at this. Here it is. Be ready always. That's what having your feet shod with, get this, preparation. Be ready. Be ready to give an answer to every man that asks of you the reason for the hope that's within you. Look at this. With meekness. And secondly, look at the next one. It's in the same verse, with fear. Two good motivations, or rather attitudes. To be meek isn't to be angry and bombastic, and it's to be like Jesus was. Come unto me, learn of me, I am meek and lowly. You see, you don't have to be Mr. Super personality. Meekness is what we're required to have as an attitude, and fear, the fear of the Lord. And then thirdly, look at this. The next verse says, having a good conscience. That's adequate preparation for the gospel. You see, if you're going to prepare yourself to preach, we must first go to all those we have wronged, all of them, confessing and asking forgiveness. Make restitution where it's possible so that you have a good conscience. See, if you stole a car yesterday, become a Christian today, before you go preaching tomorrow, you ought to return the car. Zacchaeus, when Jesus went to his house, he said this, if I've taken anything from anybody, I'm going to give them back four times as much, and I'm going to give half my goods to feed the poor. And Jesus said, today has salvation come to thine house. You don't get saved by doing restitution, but of course, because we're saved and truly repentant, we do true as much as we possible, make wrongs right, get our clear conscience back. And then another important attitude is boldness. Look at the scripture. Paul said that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness I want to preach so that Christ is magnified. Notice the difference and the contrast between boldness and being ashamed. Scripture says when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned, ignorant men. They marveled, and they knew that he'd been with Jesus. Because you see, boldness is not brashness. It's not being pompous. It's not parading in front of your hearers like a peacock or yelling and screaming at the top of your voice. Boldness is simply confidence that what we have to say is of lasting importance and value. So boldness is a good reason. Number five, the fifth reason is simply this. Another attitude is to have a servant spirit. Look at what Paul says. For though I am free from all men, look at this, yet I have made myself servant to all so that I might win them, I might gain them. In fact, he goes on to say, and to the weak I become weak, that I might gain the weak. You see, a servant spirit is critical as an attitude to bringing the gospel to people. So, number one, we learn we must have adequate motivation, adequate understanding of the gospel is number two. Number three, we've got to have proper attitudes. These are all preparations for preaching the gospel. And then number four, we must have spiritual fullness. Look at the scripture. You will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you shall be witnesses unto me. We're commanded in Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is part of the preparation of the gospel. And here's the reason. You see, unless there is within us that which is above us, we shall soon yield to that which is around us. Now, you'll know when you're full of the Spirit, because the scripture says that you will be speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and you'll be singing, making up melodies in your heart unto the Lord. You will have the outflow and the overflow of the inflow of God's Spirit, and preaching the gospel must be done in the power of His Spirit. Spiritual fullness, preparation to preach the gospel. And then number five, being prepared means being ready to seize every opportunity to preach. Look at this scripture. Preach the word. Look at this. Be instant in season. That means when you're ready, or out of season when you're not ready. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned unto stories and fables. But not you. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of your ministry. Be ready at any time to seize every opportunity to preach the gospel. And then number six, you need to learn how to handle objections. The scripture, look at this. You see, the servant of the Lord must not strive. When we go out there to bring the message, we're not to get entangled in argument and debate and strive with people. And so being properly prepared means learning how to handle objection. And that teaching is available to you. And you can learn the principles of Scripture of how to deal with people who want to argue. And you will learn how to overcome all their objections and preach the gospel. How do you put your boots on? What are the steps of preparedness? Let's review them. Number one, we must have adequate motivation. Number two, an adequate understanding of the gospel. Number three, we must have proper attitudes. Number four, we must have spiritual fullness. And number five, we must be ready to seize every opportunity. And number six, we must learn how to handle objections. When you have worked your way through these six aspects, you will be prepared to preach the gospel. And when you're prepared like this, you got your boots on and God can take you, and that scripture will be true of you. How beautiful are your feet, because you bring the gospel of peace to those who need it.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.